Hello, everyone, and welcome to Episode 8 of The Orbit, Season 2. My name is Umeima Suhail, and I'm the Editor-in-Chief at the Sputnik, Wilfrid Laurier University's independent student newspaper on the Brantford campus. The Orbit is the Sputnik's official podcast where I sit down and have a chat with writers and creators on our team about their published work and our monthly issues. In the final episode of this year, I am so excited to speak with the Sputnik's lead arts and culture writer, Sienna Balancia.
Hi guys, I'm Sienna and I am a third year in the digital media and journalism program.
Sienna wrote an article for our last issue of the year in April called Brantford Women Are in Business. Copies of our final issue are now on stands around campus, so make sure to get a copy before you head home for the summer. So Sienna, how's it going?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm okay. How's your morning been so far?
It's been all right. Nice to be here. Classes are almost over.
That is true, that is true. Today is, I think, the last day I'll be here for classes, but what about you?
Yeah, I think I'm the same.
Yeah, do you have any exams?
I have one. It's online at noon on a Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, how much time do you have to study for it?
It's an open book test.
Okay. This Sunday?
No, in like 2 weeks.
Oh, wow. Well, that doesn't sound too bad.
No, honestly, It's a late exam load. It's not too bad.
Yeah, that's
pretty good. Can't
complain. What class is it for?
Archaeology.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. With who?
It's an online class, so I've never met my prof.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just have one exam too, but it's at 8:30 on the 16th.
What class?
Global Terrorism and Security.
It's a scary title. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you. It's all multiple choice.
Oh, solid. Gotta love that.
Yeah. The weather's getting warmer, and then, you know, just a few weeks ago, it was International Women's Day, which kind of leads us back to your article on women in business and the Women in Business Expo. So I did want to ask you a couple of questions about your article, but the first one I just wanted to ask was pretty much, like, why did you decide to write it? Like, what made you want to pitch this to the Sputnik and publish it?
Well, the month of March was International, like, Month for Women, and I knew that someone had mentioned to me that there was this event going on in Brantford, or in, like, the relative area of Brantford, where all of these women would get together, and it was the second annual event, and actually one of my professors was supposed to be one of the guest speakers, so that was the real reason I started to do it. She ended up getting sick and couldn't make it, but it was still a wonderful experience. I got to talk to so many people. Everyone was so, like, happy and welcoming to each other, and it was honestly so much fun.
Oh my god, that sounds so much fun. Who's the professor? Let's shout out her business.
Professor was Candace Huntley.
Oh,
yeah, she was our PR teacher.
Yeah. I remember having her last term. So so she has like a PR company, I believe, right? Yeah. So at this business, like, or at this expo, you're talking about how there's like a bunch of women here with like different businesses. So can you like maybe, I know you mentioned like there's like you mentioned a couple of women in your article, like for example, like Ashley Juno, I think is how you pronounce her name.
I believe so.
You know, and I'm just wondering, like, can you shed light on like what it was like meeting these women and like talking to them and hearing about their business?
Yeah, pretty much I approached a bunch of people just to ask them questions, see how they were feeling about the event, who had been there before, because I believe it was the second year that this was running. So I try to talk to some people who were new, who haven't been there, someone who was there last year, kind of people who were like running booths and some people who were just like walking around. But yeah, everyone was so open to just like asking questions, and they were all like super excited to be there and just to be around other women, to network, to talk, to chat, to just stand around and like look at all the different things that were going on.
So kind of, can you like describe like what the event kind of was like? So I know there were booths, and I think you mentioned in your article that they were handing out like not necessarily goodie bags, but
yeah, so the first about 100 people I think got tote bags filled with things, which, like, I got there at, like, 10 o'clock, and by almost 11, they were completely gone. Like, there was over 100 people having been there from, like, the first hour. Mm-hmm. And there was still, like, the entire rest of the day. Because I think they were there till 4 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And, but then, like, even if you missed the goodie bags, you could still walk around. People were handing out things. I got a tarot card reading. That was super fun.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there was a whole bunch of booths. I think they had, like, over 40 booths there in the one conference room. And then in the other one, there was, that's where they had all the guest speakers.
Mm-hmm.
So every, I think it was hour or so, they had a new speaker. And they all had, like, came from different backgrounds. And they all had different advice and stuff to give. And they tried to make them slightly different than last year, but still also, like, cater towards what people would want. So, like, financial help or, like, stuff more related to business, and some stuff was related to more just being, like, a female person.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was a lot of fun. It was very interesting.
Yeah, so, like, do you remember what some of the talks were about? Like, do you remember who some of the speakers were specifically? I know you kind of touched on it in your story.
Yeah, from what I could remember, I believe there was some were for finance, some were more, like, general business things, and then there were some that was more for, like, mental health and... Mm-hmm. on that side, but there was a lot of different, and like some of them like kind of overlapped, but some of them were very different from each other, so it was kind of nice to have like a broad spectrum of different guest speakers and everything.
Yeah, and this was right here in Brantford, right?
It was just outside, I believe it was technically in Paris, but it was like, it was just outside of Brantford.
Okay. So you drove there?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's a really long walk on the highway.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding.
Oh, okay. I was like, you walked on the highway. okay. Oh, yeah. No, this sounds like such a cool event, though. I kind of wish I went now. So there were, like, guest speakers, like, goodie bags. I keep calling them that, but I know they're, like, called swag bags. Officially. Sorry, that's, like, the grown-up way to say, like, goodie bags. I feel like they're the same.
I know, it's like, you're going to a party.
No, yeah.
You're getting gifts.
It's the same thing.
It's a goodie bag.
Yeah. So was there, like, something that stuck out to you at this event at all?
I don't know. I was kind of just, like, if you ever gone to, like, other, I don't want to call them, like, conferences, but kind of, like, get-togethers where there's things, like, there's different, like, booths and places to walk around. Sometimes you feel, like, really awkward or that you, like, feel out of place. And it was kind of nice to just, like, feel like everyone was super, like, smiley and happy and, like, everyone actually wanted to be there.
Yeah.
And it didn't feel like, oh, my gosh, my boss signed me up for this. I have to just, like, stand here now for the next 4 hours. Like, everyone was just so welcoming and wanted to be there.
Yeah. So, how many people were at, like, one booth? Was it, like, a whole team of people, or...?
It kind of depended, because, like, CHCH and the Brant Beacon had, like, a table... Like, they were next to each other, but they were kind of, like...
Brant Beacon. Isn't that, like, a newspaper?
Yeah.
Oh, they were there, too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah, I
okay.
chatted with them and got, like, people's, like, business cards and stuff.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Networking.
It was great.
Yeah.
Solid time.
Maybe they could get you a job.
We're waiting.
They gotta go talk hopefully about. A summer job. That
exactly.
sounds so cool. Wow. Okay, wait. So there is, like, newspaper companies there, too.
Yeah.
Like, not just reporting there, but, like, actually there.
Yeah, before. Like, CHCH was there. The Brant Beacon was there. And then there was, like, other people who... There was a couple authors. There was some realtors. Some banks were there. Sex education.
Oh.
But then there's also, like, a lot of... were just, like, independent businesses. Mm-hmm. Like, there was bakeries and photographers and a whole, like, the spectrum of, like, who was there was so broad. Mm-hmm. Like, there were so many things. It was so cool to, like, look around and, like, see all this stuff. But, yeah.
Yeah. Wow, that is so cool. So, like, okay, so I didn't even know that. Like, I mean, I know in your article you mentioned there was, like, realtors and, like, business women, like, owners. But
yeah.
I didn't know it was, like... other companies must have been there too. That's actually really cool.
Yeah, so there was a lot of stuff. I think there's like women owned businesses, and then there was still like other people who sent like female representatives.
Okay, that sounds cool. So it was just all women there.
There were a couple, like CHCH had one guy, the Brant Beacon had two guys, I think, there. Like there was a couple, but and like a couple other places also had male employees there, but there it was mostly all just women.
Yeah. And what about the people walking around? Were they also, like, all business owners or, like, part of a business that, and they were there to, like, advertise their business or?
I think some people were. A lot of people walked around that, like, a lot of people had their own business cards mm-hmm. that they would just, like, trade business cards back mm-hmm. and forth. So you could tell who, like, was kind of just there to network and who was there to actually just, like, walk around and just kind of, like, see what was there and just to, like, be there as mm-hmm. it being mm-hmm. the, like, I think it was the day before International Women's Day or the day of or something. But
Yeah. I think it was the day of.
Yeah. So... honestly, it was so much fun, and everyone was, like, so wild. Like, I walked up to, like, two random people, and I was just like, hey, have you guys ever been here before? And they just, like, talked to me for, like, 3-5 minutes. Like, it was great. Everyone was so, they were so encouraging, too. They were like, oh, my goodness, I never could have just, like, walked up to a random stranger and just, like, asked them these questions. I, like, applaud you for that. And I was like, aww. You guys are so nice.
Yeah. Aw, that's so sweet of them. So it was easy to talk to people for interviews.
Oh,
then.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Everyone was, like, so open to it. And then I've been, like, approached a couple people, and they're like, oh, my goodness, like, I only got here a couple of minutes. I would definitely love to talk to you. Just, like, let me walk around or something first. And I was like, you guys are, like, so happy to, like, be aww, here. And so, yeah. like, welcome to all of this.
There's, like, so much passion yeah. there, it seems like. Yeah. So, like... a good section of your article, I think throughout your article, actually, kind of sprinkled throughout, like, why it's kind of important to have, like, events like this, like the Women in Business Expo, and a lot of women in your article mentioned that they're just here to network and to meet other women in business, but, like, why do you think holding events like this is important to have, especially in, like, Brantford, Paris, like, that kind of area?
Yeah, so actually, after talking to the woman who started it, mm-hmm. Sam, she told me that, like, the reason that she started it was because she felt that there was, like, a gap in, like, events and, like, things that they had going on for women mm-hmm. and for, like, businesses and stuff, and she wanted to, especially with there being, like, International Women's Day in March and everything, mm-hmm. this was going to give them the opportunity to... like fill that gap. And after the first year went so well and so many more people wanted to join, she decided to host it again, and there was a networking, and they've been planning this since, like, November. Like, a lot of time went into this, and there was wow. like networking before, and then they had to pick the guest speakers, and they had to, like, figure out who was going to be at what table and arrange it and make sure that everyone was going to be there and everything. Mm-hmm. So
they've been planning it for, like, 5 months yeah. like, in advance.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And, like, did this woman, Samantha Gernhardt, like, did she do everything then in terms of all of that?
Yeah. I mean, like, she mm-hmm. has some help, obviously, but she's, like, she's the head person. She's running mm-hmm. it. She's doing the media. She's in charge oh,
wow.
of it all.
Wow. And what was her main motive? Just because,
I think just, yeah. honestly, just to, like, bridge that, like, gap that she thought that we had. Like, she wanted there to be a space where women could all come together and talk and network with each other mm-hmm. because it was something that she felt like we all needed, and yeah. clearly we did, and it worked out great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think, though? Do you feel like there is a gap?
I feel like... I mean, like, it's something, like, being in school, like, it's something that you know is there, but, like, mm-hmm. you don't really, like, register it. But then, like, going and, like, talking to everyone, it was so, like, I don't know, even, like, eye-opening, but it was so, like, nice to just, like, sit and, like, see everyone and see all the people that were there. Mm-hmm. Because it was such a, like, I didn't think it was going to be this big of an event, even, like, when I was mm-hmm. going to go. And then I, like, when I got there, there were so many people there. It was kind of overwhelming to just, like, get yeah. there and see that there's, like, an entire room of, like, 50-some-odd tables, and then there were, like, 10 more out in the hallway. Like, mm-hmm. there was so much going on. Wow. But it was also, like, then I, like, got inside, and everyone was, like, so welcoming and so easy to talk to.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I actually want to bring up, like, that point that you just mentioned, like, it's, like, in school, we don't really realize these things. And I feel like, especially on, like, a liberal arts campus like Brantford, mm-hmm. we especially don't really realize, I feel like, because, if anything, there's not much of a stigma around, like, girls being in, like, these programs. If anything, it would be, like, the other way around. But I feel like at Laurier Brantford, it's really equal. But then, like, when you step out into the real world, or even, like, my friends at University of Waterloo, the ones in the STEM programs or engineering programs, they always talk about, like, misogyny in, like, their classes.
Yeah.
And that's just something I feel like we don't realize because we're privileged enough to, like, not have that discrimination, I guess, here. But I don't know. I feel like in other schools, especially with, like, STEM programs, they feel it. So I assume it's the same for business women. you know? And then when they step out into the real world, what I mean by that is, like, when they graduate and then move on to have their own businesses, they really feel it. So, like, what do you think about that? Like, have you heard any stories, like, from the expo of, like, women going through that? Or, like, what are your thoughts?
So I think the one thing that, like, kind of stuck out more to me was a lot of people having, like, their main job of what they were doing, and then they also had their own business on the side. Like, they were, because the one lady, I forget what her name is now, but the realtor that I talked to, she was a realtor, but she also owned her own, like, bouncy castle company. So, like, she would go and, Ashley. She was one of the women, Ashley was one of the women that I talked to, and she is a realtor, but she also owns her own company, and which I believe is a bouncy castle company, and they do, like, kids parties and stuff, like, all the stuff that they brought. And she said that it was her second year being there, and her first year they had actually brought, like, a giant, like, bouncy castle thing. Like, there wasn't room because they had so many more tables.
Right.
Because there's so many more people there. Mm-hmm. But last year they had brought this whole, like, bouncy castle, like, a giant thing. Of, like, you know, like, one of those, like, game ones where you can, like, throw stuff at it. Doesn't matter. It was cool.
No, I'm kind of lame like that. I don't know. much about bouncy castles, but I'm sure it sounds fun.
Yeah, so they had brought one of those last year as well. And, like, she was so nice, and it was actually, like, super cool, like, interesting to talk to, because you always forget that, like, some people, like, they have the job that's like more, like, gives them more stability, or, like, it takes up more time in their life, and then they have the other job that they, like, maybe they do it for fun, or maybe they just do it because that's what their actual passion is, but they just need more time to like figure it out.
I think that's not, in my opinion, not necessarily too surprising that people want to keep, like, their 9-to-5s and then have a business to the side. I feel like even for men or, like, other people in business, that's, like, I don't want to say normal, but, like, common.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
Especially in, like, no offense, and, like, not, I don't know why I say no offense, but, like, for journalists, like, because all of our work, like, a lot of our work is freelance, unless you get, like, a solid job, which happens never nowadays. Like, most of us will have a second job just to, like, keep things consistent for
us. That's true. And the industry is just, like, the job market in journalism. It's like, there are jobs, but you have to, like, work twice as hard as you used to just to get those positions.
So
I definitely, like, you're right. Like, and I mean, I don't think anyone should be offended at that. Like, you know, it's like, it's what it is. Like, usually when you do freelance, you do have to have a separate job, you know? But yeah, I think you mentioned a couple of times now that there's, like, there were a lot more booths than last year.
I think they said that there was just over 50 booths this year, and last year I think they had 30 or so.
Oh, wow.
So I think they almost doubled the amount of booths and stuff that they had.
Wow, that's a lot. And that's just because people attended last year and they...
Yeah, people really reached out. They really wanted to, like, you know, have a booth. They wanted to have their own space. They heard about it from a friend. They saw it online. Like, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's actually really amazing. So how in advance, or how much in advance, should people have, like, signed up to get a booth?
I think that's a lot of, like, what the networking and stuff was in November, was kind of like, this is what's going on, and this is when it's going to be. And then, like, people had to apply for a booth. People had to apply to be a guest speaker and everything, because obviously there's only so much time in the day as well. And then, like, you don't want to have people, like, overlapping on topics, because then, like, things get too, like, boring if it's the same thing said over and over again. So...
Yeah. So actually, that reminds me. So you did mention in your article that, like, Samantha, she organized a networking event in the fall. And then did she organize, like, another one soon after, or was just the second one she held?
No, I think it was just the one in the fall, and then the events in March.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, and you just mentioned that event from the fall was meant to kind of, like, be a pre- kind of thing for this event in March, or like she did all her connections then?
I believe so. I think, like, there's an online, like, when you go in, you don't have to register because it's a free event, but, like, if you want to register just to, like, have it in your calendar so they have, like, rough numbers, you can go, and then you can also register to, like, sign up and have a booth. So a lot of it's done online. I think, like, the stuff in November was more to just, like, you know, have things being, like, set up, kind of get, like, more roof ideas, who would mm-hmm. be, like, sponsors and all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, what do you think about, you know, covering this event overall? I know you mentioned that at first was, like, kind of overwhelming, but people were willing to talk to you and people were happy to talk to you. Yeah.
Yeah. So going there, I was honestly kind of nervous to get started.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because, like, I was on my own. I didn't really know where I was going. Mm-hmm. Like, even driving there, I was mm-hmm. kind of confused as to where I ended up. But everything seemed to work itself out. And, like, I talked to the first couple people, and they were super nice. Mm-hmm. And then I kind of just wanted to, like, walk around, get a feel for, like, how things were going and, like, what was going on and everything. So, you know, I took my time, walked around, talked to a couple people, and then, you know, took some pictures, kind of, like, saw what was going on, enjoyed the event for myself, and then went to go talk to people so that mm-hmm. I had, like, a better understanding of, like, how they were feeling and what was going on and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, like, going back to, like, International Women's Day, I guess, because the expo was on purpose, I assume, held on International Women's Day.
Oh, absolutely.
Day. Yeah, yeah. What does International Women's Day really mean to you? And, like, what do you feel like it should actually, like, represent?
Oh, tough questions in the morning. I don't know. It's kind of just, I guess it embodies kind of, like, what the whole purpose of the event was, like, mm-hmm. for all of us to come together, appreciate what we have, who we are, and, like, show the different, like, there's, like, a whole spectrum of, like, women in business. There's different kinds, there's different people at different stages of their lives. Like, there was so much to learn and so much to, like, figure out, like, from each other that, I don't know, I guess that's what it means, just, like, be yourself, but also there's, like, you can learn from each other. Mm-hmm. That's what we're all here for.
Yeah, yeah. And I agree. I think International Women's Day is just the day to kind of, like, recognize other women and appreciate other women and, mm-hmm. you know, and appreciate yourself and, like, realize that, like, as women, we do a lot in this society. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many, I feel like, responsibilities and, like, tasks and, like, expectations put on women. But I wanted to know, like, what is your opinion on people who are like, well, what about International Men's Day? Or, like what if, you know, why isn't there, like, a, I don't know, men in business expo? Like, people who would say stuff like that. I don't know who would say that, but people who would.
There are people who would.
Yeah, yeah.
This is turning into a very feminist podcast.
Well, we are talking about Branford Women in Business.
It's fine. I don't care. I'm good.
Yeah, I don't know.
I listened to it and I was like, yeah, this is a very feminist podcast. That's fine. I appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Power to us.
Yes.
What do I have to say to that? You know, everyone's going to have their opinions on something.
Mm-hmm.
And women have their own month because they were the minority at one point who, you know, we had to fight for the right to vote and fight for the right to, like, mm-hmm. you know, be ourselves and not just that everything was our husbands and, you know, mm-hmm. have freedom in general.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I think because at one point we had to figure all these things out and we had to become our own individual selves that mm-hmm. we get a month. We get a day
mm-hmm.
that is just about all the women and the women in our lives and the women in everyone else's life to just appreciate what we have and what at one point, especially women in business, we couldn't have done that, like, what, 200 years ago? We mm-hmm. would have had to, we never would have actually been able to do that, but we can now, so we might as well appreciate what we have and celebrate that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think for sure, like, the times are changing and, you know, I think women are, like, I think there are more women in the world, which is why it's, like, crazy, you know, that mm-hmm. still, like, somehow men are leading, you know, but, not to be, you know, offensive, but it's, I think that it's important to have these things, especially for, like, young girls right now who, like, you know, are growing up, and I feel like, and the reason why at the beginning I mentioned, like, why do you think it's important to, like, have these types of events in Brantford and Brant and Paris is just because, I don't know, I feel like it's a lot smaller. Brantford's, like, a smaller city than, for example, Waterloo, but obviously, like, Mississauga or Toronto or, you know, I know you're from Hamilton, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I feel like, you know, in a small town, like, isn't it important to have events that kind of raise awareness for, like, women and, like, encourage them to just keep doing what they're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. And even, like, after I was talking to Sam about, like, everything and, like, who the people who took the booths and, like, mm-hmm. who were there, she said that there were people who have reached out to her from, like, like Brant County and everywhere around there, mm-hmm. but there are also like there were people from Hamilton and from Toronto and from like just outside of Paris and London because people wanted to come, they wanted to see this event because it doesn't happen everywhere. It's not like there mm-hmm. isn't, these events aren't available all over the place. So
yeah, exactly. And I just kind of wanted to dive a bit, like, I mean, I guess not dive, but kind of zoom out, I guess, the other way around. And, you know, kind of speak to arts and culture in general, because, like, you're the lead arts and culture writer. You've been writing arts and culture for a while now, even before this year. You were at the Sputnik for a while, too, weren't you?
Yeah. I wrote a little bit of opinion last year, but I think actually some of it kind of a little bit turned into arts and culture. Yeah, I think I wrote a movie review, so.
Yeah, I think you're a natural, like, arts and culture person.
Oh, so, thank you.
Of course. And I'm just wondering, like, when you are pitching, like, arts and culture stories or when you're writing, like, what do you try to prioritize? Like, what kind of articles do you think, you know, are, like, what you would like to shed light on when you write?
I mean, I'm always partial to, like, just hearing other people's stories. Mm-hmm. So, like, if there's, like, a certain speaker coming to the Sanderson Center, or if there's, mm-hmm. like, a bigger event that's going to happen, either whether it's on campus or off campus, like, I think I covered book memoir about an Holocaust survivor, and when Jane Goodall was coming, I covered the event. I talked to some people who were involved in mm-hmm. getting her here as well. I don't know, I just like talking to people and like being around like people in the community is mm-hmm. always nice to talk to all of them, like business owners. But then also like the Sanderson Center is a wonderful theater that we have here in Brantford, and there's so many events going on, and some of them are like super niche and like super entertaining to like mm-hmm. hear about, even if like I didn't get the chance to go and see them myself. It's so nice to just like hear about all the like options that we have, and it's like literally down the street from us. So
yeah, no, that's very true. I feel like the Sanderson Center always has such great stuff, and I feel like students, even though like we're always hearing about it in class, and I feel like there are posters around campus, still like I feel like students always need like an extra boost to like go and actually visit yeah. them. Mm-hmm. And like that Jane Goodall event, like I remember when I read your story, like it was just so interesting to me that they're bringing her here because she's from England, right? Like she's an English, I want to say doctor, but scientist really is yeah. a better word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe so. And she had been here before. Like she came, I think it was 5 or 6 years ago before, mm-hmm. and then they were bringing her back because it's her like 90th birthday or something.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
Congrats to her.
Yeah, exactly. And so they were going to try and bring her back, and literally the tickets sold out, and I think it was, like, under a couple hours. Like, it was, like, one of the fastest sales the Sanderson Center's ever had.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, wow. Talking to Glenn all the time. Me and Glenn are like this. Like.
Yeah. Aw, yeah, yeah. I love Glenn, too.
Well, I love the Sanderson Center. I love just, like, talking to everybody there. They're mm-hmm. all so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn's always so open to, like, talking about the events. He's so, like, excited and, like, passionate. Yeah. Honestly, if I come back, and when I come back to Sputnik next mm-hmm. year in whatever capacity, I really want to just do, like, a profile on Glenn. Because, like, he's literally mm-hmm. been there for forever. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why I was going to talk about this, like, the other day, too. Yeah. I was like, I so want to do a profile on Glenn. Because he's, nicest person ever.
Yeah.
And he's worked his way up in the Sanderson Center. Mm-hmm. Like, dude needs some spotlight.
Yeah, he does. Like, I feel like Glenn, like, I met him over the summer when I was doing, I was working on a podcast for, well, it wasn't really a podcast. It was sort of like a, I would say it was an audio piece for for the Sanderson Center with Avery, actually. Professor Avery Morclaus at Laurier with her her studio. She has a podcast studio in Paris, Folktale Studio. When I was working with her on that project, that's when I met him for the first time. And, like, I was just kind of, like, Avery's assistant, so I just kind of, like, recorded stuff and, like, did what she asked me to, pretty much. So I didn't really talk to him much, just us two, but I remember, like, I also interviewed him later on in the fall for, we ran a show called, like, The Brantford Life, which I know you've heard of because I talked about it before last year a lot. But, yeah, and, like, I don't know. Really cool guy. Like, he has been there for a lot. He's been there for, I think, what is it, like, over 20 years?
Yeah,
over,
something like that. Yeah, I think he, like, studied there, like, as a young person, someone. I think he was, like, late teens or, like, early 20s or something. Like, he's been there for, like, a hot minute.
Yeah, he's really, like, passionate, like you said, and really motivated. Yeah. He's, and again, like you said, like, he's kind of worked his way up the ladder, I want to say.
Yeah. The work you did with Avery, was it the audio postcards?
Yes, it was. Did she talk about that?
Yeah, we had to do it as an assignment.
Oh my God.
We all got different places.
Oh, what did you do?
Where did I get? I got Myrtleville House. Oh, is one of the museums out here.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow, so that is actually really cool. Yeah, I forgot what it was called. That's why I was like, podcast? No. audio piece. I was like, I don't remember.
She got, so that way we all get like actual published work as like an audio sample. Mm-hmm. So I think she got her audio one class to do it and her audio two class to do it this year.
Oh, wow. So like, so she would like actually send it to them and like they would publish
it. Yeah, so like we all got the chance to like work on it and like interview people and like have the piece, submit it. We got a grade on it, and then afterwards she would go through it with us and be like, hey, we gotta just like fine tune a couple things, we'll change this around, like what are your thoughts, because like your name is gonna be on it, right. So like how do you feel about this, that way it's like actually like podcast ready.
Wow, that's actually really cool. I love how she does that.
I know.
That's great. Really cool. Yeah. So is yours like published, like is it up there now?
Not yet. I don't think they're getting released until the summer.
Okay, and when'd you do it, like this term or?
Yeah, this term.
Oh wow, that is so cool. Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah, no, they're called audio postcards, and I just forgot. but yeah, no, that's what we worked on over the summer for the Sanderson Center. So yeah, and like I don't know, I feel like, speaking of which, I feel like you could do like an audio postcard for like, for example, I know the expo already passed, but you could do it for the expo too. Maybe like, do you want to explain what an audio postcard is for like people who don't know who are listening to this?
Yeah, so pretty much, I think the like project is that they're going to have a whole bunch of them in different like art pieces and like museums and like different places around Brantford. And they're going to be there for, I believe they're going to be for free, and just like if you can listen to all of them, and they'll give you like tours, or they'll give you like information on like different parts or like art pieces or museums or anywhere in Brantford. That way people can, if they like miss business hours or they just want to like go on their own silent tour, like you can just put your headphones in, give it a listen, you can like walk around and you get your own information in like a short, it's like 4 to 6 minute long piece.
Yeah. So from what I know, postcards can be like shorter too, they could be longer, it just depends on like what kind of project it is, but yeah. And do you feel like you would go into audio in the future, or are you more of a print person? Or
I personally like writing more. I mean, like the audio that we get to do in Avery's class is so much fun, like we get to build our own podcast right now, so that's been like a blast and a half, but no, I think I'm definitely more on the written side. Listening to myself talk is not my favorite thing in the world.
No, and I think like I even had this conversation with like Mitchell, our sports writer, not just about like he wasn't talking about his voice, but like seeing his face like the screen, you know. And I feel like it's like the same thing with audio, just hearing yourself, you just really have to get used to it.
Yeah,
you know?
It's one of those things that you're just like, don't focus on the way that your voice sounds consistently.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, is that the way that I talk?
And it's like, everyone asks that, like, is that how I sound? Yes. And it's fine, you sound great.
You sound like a person. Yeah. Stop being so critical of yourself.
I know. Yeah, no, I feel like it takes a while. And I didn't really realize this, but I feel like as DMJ students, it's like you kind of have to like read your own work and like listen to your own podcast and like watch yourself like over and over and over again. But I realized like I was working on like group projects with like other students like in criminology, and you know, we had to do a podcast, and they just like all like hated like the sound of their voice and like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It was just a little crazy to me. Like, I feel like, you know, some people are not used to it.
Yeah, but, it's like one of those things that you're like, no, I don't really want to, but I feel like we've all like done it enough. Mm-hmm. Like between like audio and video and like all the other classes we have to take, it's kind of just like, man, I really hate this, but like I'm still gonna do it because I have to, because you just kind of like get used to yourself talking. It's even like doing interviews for like the Sputnik, like I'll record it and I'll have to listen back on my own recordings and stuff, and I can hear myself and I'm like, all right, skip past that. I know what my question was.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, for real. So, like, what do you think about, like, interviewing people in general, though? Because we already talked about, like, interviewing people at the expo, but, like, I don't know, have you ever had any, like, bad experiences interviewing?
I wouldn't say bad. You can tell, like, who has, like, PR training and who's actually, like, talked to people. And then, like, talking to students is completely different than talking to, like, people in business. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you talk to, like, other students, they talk to you like you're just having, like, not even like a normal conversation. They just talk to you like they're one of your like friends, or they're super nervous about it as well.
Right.
And I feel like that's the hardest part, is like for people who are super nervous, you have to like just be open with them and be like, hey, like you can take your time. You don't have to like just immediately answer. Like I'll sit here and listen to silence for like 3 minutes if you want to think about your answer. Like it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like I've never really had a bad experience. I think there's some people who, like, they don't need, like, not to say, like, they need a little push, but, like, sometimes you just have to, like, give them the question and, like, give them another question that's just, like, keeps their brain flowing enough that they're not overthinking what they're saying, but they're also, like, not just, like, sitting there contemplating, like, or, like, trying to piece together every single word to make it sound, like, super professional or, like, super, like, exactly, like, word for word instead of just, like, saying their thoughts.
Yeah, and, like, the thing is, it's, like, we're not necessarily looking for someone to be, like, overly articulate, you know? Some of the best quotes would be someone just being honest, you know? And saying things in the way that they would usually say it. But,
plus, it gives character. If everyone talks the exact same, everyone just sounds like a robot. And then it's, like, great. Everyone's like, can you, like, use a quote that, like, sounds like a person or, like, explain something? And, like, you can't because everyone's just, like, hi, my name is blank, and this is how my day went, and this is, and just, like, talks in the same, like, four ways you can form a sentence.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's, like, that's why you have to be really, like, particular with, like, how you're asking questions and really make sure you're keeping them as open, not open-minded, but, like, as open as possible.
Yeah.
So, because if you're too specific, then people will give you really specific, short, dull answers, you know? But anyway, it seems like you've done a pretty good job at, like, you know, interviewing people and, your work so far, like, over, like, since September has been, like, really good. It's always, you know, getting better and better. We love to see it. Oh, so, yeah.
You're too kind.
Yeah, no. So I just want to know, like, you know, just because a year is wrapping up, you know, and I'm so glad that one of your final articles this year is, you know, like, the Brantford Women Are in Business article, you know, something that is so, like, meaningful, but not to say the other articles are not, but, you know, just, I don't know, how was your overall experience as, like, lead arts and culture writer, like?
Honestly, I loved it so much. There were so many, like, different articles, like, the women in business, I got to interview someone who was a Holocaust survivor because I read their memoir. Like, there were just, like, different parts of, like, different articles that I, like, super, like, it was so nice to just, like, connect with, like, real people who had, like, very unique experiences. And, like, that's something that I've always, like, I've loved, is, like, asking people questions about their lives. And, like, a lot of the articles that I wrote this year gave me the chance to do that. And it was just, it was so much fun to just, like, talk to people and, like, learn from them and, like, get advice or even just, like, have a day-to-day conversation with someone.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, I don't know, how was that, like, speaking with a Holocaust survivor, too?
Oh, he was great. He's, like, amazing. We actually ended up being, like, we would call each other and just, like, chat every, like, couple weeks for a while. Yeah, wow. We became, like, friends. It was great.
God, that is so cool.
We have, like, super, like, in-depth conversations. Mm-hmm. What a guy. Ben's my favorite.
Aw, yeah, I had no idea. So, like, wow. So, was it just him, like, just calling you randomly to talk?
We would just, like... We had a whole bunch of, like, really in-depth conversations, mm-hmm. and then he asked me to send him the article. Mm-hmm. So then, like, we called after and we chatted about him, about that, and, like, just to get his, like, thoughts on it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then, like, the week after, we had had, like, just, like, very just, like, in-depth conversations, but, like, random aspects of life, but, like, kind of, you know, stuff that you don't think about every day. Mm-hmm. And so we would just sit and we would chat about stuff. And then, like, mm-hmm. the next week we'd be like, hey, we should continue. So in 2 weeks we'd call each other again and we'd just, like, sit and chat. And, like, we've gotten busier over the last little bit, so I haven't chatted with him in a while. But it was nice to just, like, it was one of those things, like, you didn't think was, like, he's, like, 86 years old and I'm 21. Like, it's not, there's a giant age gap and, like, from two different, like, completely different backgrounds that mm-hmm. it's one of those things that it wouldn't have happened unless it, like, you meet each other by coincidence, but mm-hmm. no, my gosh, it was great.
Yeah.
Amazing person to learn from.
Aw, yeah. And I'm so glad that you even had that call with him, you know, after mm-hmm. after the article was published. I feel like a lot of people, they'll build a relationship with the people they're interviewing in the first bit when they need them for, like, the interviews. But then, like, especially when it comes to something so, like, heavy, like the Holocaust and, like, you know, something so important to him, like his memoir and what he wrote, right? It's, mm-hmm. you know, so important to follow up with that. And I think that was just such a good idea for you to, like, talk to him about it after. And I'm really glad that you guys did that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's so important. So many people just skip that step.
Yeah. Especially because, like, some people do want to reach out and talk about something. So some people, especially if they're, like, outside the school, they're like, mm-hmm. can you send me the article? And I'm done. I'm like, sure. Like, I'll send you the link of, like, where it is online. You can read it for yourself. And some people will reach out afterwards and be like, oh, my goodness, it was amazing. Like, after I wrote the article for the school's theater club, mm-hmm. like, the co-presidents reached out to me afterwards and said, like, thank you so much for writing it, like, it was an amazing article.
Aww, yeah.
Yeah, it's always so, like, heartwarming as well, mm-hmm. because you're like, oh, like, someone actually read this, like, it mattered to them, and mm-hmm. you appreciate it more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course. And I feel like, you know, people just love seeing, like, you know, pieces about them in the paper, right? And I feel like it's, like, for them, it's like their 15 minutes of fame.
Yeah, sometimes. Exactly. Who doesn't want to be interviewed for the paper? Exactly. It's great.
Yeah. And I think that's just so, so amazing how, like, some people have, like, reached out to you and said that, you know, you've impacted them, I guess, or that they're really happy with, like, the work that you put out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's one of those things you don't really think about, and mm-hmm. then, like, you have a conversation like this, and you're like, oh, wait, people have actually, like, there's a lot more than you think have actually, like, reached out mm-hmm. and been like, oh, my gosh, like, I love this. Thank you so much. But
yeah.
It's great. It's a good time.
It's amazing. So, like, how do you feel, like, that the fact that they're closing down, or it seems like they're closing down our program, and they've stopped enrollment completely for 2 years now at this point? How do you feel about that, and how do you think it kind of affects you as a journalist, a writer, and student, and then also a journalist at the Sputnik?
I mean, like, obviously it came as a shock. It was mm-hmm. a very, like, mildly nerve-wracking email to get on a random day in February, what, 2 years ago now?
Yep. You were in first year at that time, right?
No, it was last year. I got it in second, I think. Yeah, because Mitchell's the year below us, and he was already here, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it was. Mm-hmm. So we got it last year on, like, some random day in February,
mm-hmm.
and they were saying that it wouldn't affect our graduation, which, I mean, like, it kind of has, because they keep canceling and rearranging our classes
mm-hmm.
because we can't fill them, but there aren't enough of us to fill classes
because mm-hmm.
there's only seven of us in every class.
Mm-hmm.
but
yeah, like I was supposed to take feature writing last term and they canceled the course completely. So so like you guys couldn't take it and then I couldn't take it. So they made everyone take like creative writing.
Yeah, which I've already taken. So like if that happens again next year, I don't know what I'm going to take.
Well, creative writing is nothing like feature writing anyway, so
no, it's not. It's poetry and nonfiction. And
yeah, like, I get how some
like,
of
honestly,
it could apply,
it was a great class, but, like, mm-hmm. it has nothing to do with journalism.
I loved the class, but I treated it like an elective, and I kept forgetting it was, like, a required course for me because I didn't have feature writing. Yeah. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Other thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, like, having the Sputnik has been, like being able to write for the Sputnik has been great because mm-hmm. it gives you, like, the, like, you have published work, you have something to submit, mm-hmm. so it still gives you the journalism, like, side of things that, like, we don't have a lot of classes necessarily as the journalism side, right. Especially if, like, that's the half that, like, I really want to get into, whereas, like, some of us also would rather get into, like, the media side, would rather do, like, photography and video rather than the writing, but I don't know. I feel like the program itself is, like, great. Like, I like most of my classes. Obviously, there's some boring ones, but what program doesn't have boring classes?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I don't know. Like, obviously, it sucks. It's really weird to be, like, the last couple students in a program, especially when you hear from people who are in, like, business and, like, crim and stuff. And they're like, yeah, it's a program of, like, 400 people. You're like, yeah, I've got, like, 11 in total. I think my graduating class is going to be, like, 6.
Yeah. Yeah. People are going to, like, if you're saying you have 7 people in your class right now, mm-hmm. like, someone's going to either stay back or someone's going to drop out.
Yeah, or someone's not in our year and they had to move up to take the class because it's mm-hmm. not going to exist next year.
Yeah.
There's a lot of just, a lot of emails of being like, your class is canceled. I'm like, cool. Let's rearrange this again.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the other thing is, though, like, once you say you're graduating, then the school will help you graduate. Like, they're not going to hold you back here.
Mm-hmm.
So, that part's nice. And it's also kind of comforting to be like, okay, I'm not going to get screwed over in mm-hmm. the end, hopefully. But
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Like, I'm graduating this year. And, again, like, the only thing I missed was, I missed the videography course for Conestoga, so they just made me take it for Laurier,
mm-hmm.
like, with Duncan.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and Duncan's, like, a Conestoga prof, so I don't feel like I missed anything there. But the feature writing completely screwed me over with that. No offense. Well, no, yeah, offense taken, like, to Laurier, because, you know, and, you know, also, you guys don't have your integrated media lab class anymore either, which is basically,
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, so basically integrated media lab is a course in DMJ. It's supposed to be a third year course, so if you didn't take it, you're taking it next year, mm-hmm. which the professor who was supposed to teach it said that that's a bad idea because you're also supposed to do capstone next year.
They also changed mm-hmm. the capstone, so it's only half a credit now, so we have to take another class.
Mm-hmm. So you're not going to do solutions. Well, I don't know if you might do. I don't think you're going to do solutions journalism. You're going to do something different.
Cool.
So, yeah. So in the past, we've done solutions journalism, but the only person that was qualified for it is leaving Laurier. So,
sick.
Yeah. So
I love that.
So you're not going to have that. But integrated media lab, it's basically when you write an article every 2 weeks
mm-hmm.
in the class
mm-hmm.
and you're marked on it. And it's supposed to be the most intense class. But here's the good thing. I personally feel like if you are a lead writer at the Sputnik or you're a volunteer even, in the past you've had to write it was one article every 2 weeks. Now I just give you like one deadline. So it's like 2 articles in 2 weeks, right?
Yeah.
So that's not a lot of time, but the reason why, you know, it's like that is so that there's time for, like, revisions and edits and you can, like, polish your work and then publish it. Whereas in the past, at the Sputnik, when you've had it where it was a one article every 2 weeks, there was, like, what you wrote and sent to your editor was what you saw on the paper.
Yeah.
Which I don't necessarily agree with because mm-hmm. there's always something that you could change. But the thing is, if you've been at the Sputnik and you've been writing like that, so I think you'd be fine. Because the main issue that people had in that class was that they couldn't meet the deadlines. They thought, like, one article in 2 weeks was a lot. But really, the expectation in regular newsrooms is one article every day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, and possibly more. So.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I think you're fine, but...
Yay! Yeah. And that's the other thing, is people are always like, how do you come up with topics? I'm like, from being at, like, the paper, especially as a lead writer, like, I connected with the, like, I forget what her actual title is, but one of the ladies who works for, like, the city of Brantford is in charge of, like, doing all the PR stuff and, like, sending out, like, media releases and stuff. So she started just sending them to me instead of sending them to, like, the editor and, like, sending them to you instead. Like, she just sent them to me. And then I would, like, get my pick of, like, different things to, like, cover for the month. So people was like, how do you come up with stuff? And I'm like, some of it was just because I, like, made connections. Because, like, I literally emailed this lady, like, 37 times throughout the year. So she just started, like, sending me things. And it was great. And it was super helpful.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's actually so awesome that, like, people trust you now. And, like, they – it's not necessarily even – because, like, it, some people disagree with, like, a journalist just using, like, PR. Like, like publicists will send journalists story ideas. And they're like, well, that's not really a story idea. But, like, in this case, it's different because it's, like, a source, like, liked you and like your work, right, obviously. Or they like your work, obviously. And then they, you know, they send you stuff and they want you to write it. And
it's not like I'm rewriting. Their like media release word for word. Like, you gotta talk to people, you gotta talk to people who were there in the past. It's a story. It's not just like, here's the information of when the event is. It's like, here's the past, here's who this person like really is, and like here's more information, and like here's like the story behind it, rather than like, this is just exactly what's going on,
the background, the context, like what's happening in the moment, you know, what people think, like all of that is journalist work, and all of that goes into it. So just to kind of, like, wrap up everything, I just want to go back to the Brantford Women Are in Business article that we started with. So the Women in Business Expo on International Women's Day and how Brant Beacon was there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you should talk to them and ask them for a job.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah. They're getting back to me on that.
For sure. Yeah.
Looking forward to that. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, for sure. And I hope you get it. Because you know what? You know, I think, and I talked about this in, like, other episodes, too, at the Orbit, in the Orbit, but it's, you know, making those connections is so, so important, and, you know, I feel like that's something that especially DMJ students should, you know, take on, you know? But yeah, not just to say, like, not just DMJ students, because obviously there aren't going to be many more of those soon, but, like, other students, too, like, in English, social work, like, other programs here at Laurier Brantford, like, it's just important to, like, network and know people, and especially with, like, students, like, now, like, especially because we're nearing the end of the year, I do want to talk about, like, graduating and jobs and stuff, like, it's so important to, like, make those connections, which is why, again, I'm really happy that you covered this, and good job on it.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, Sienna, thank you so much for being our last guest in the studio for the finale of The Orbit Season 2, Episode 8. Check out Sienna's story called Brantford Women Are in Business, along with other phenomenal work in our final April issue, also on our website, thesputnik.ca. That's thesputnik.ca. Before the year ends, definitely follow our socials, including X, TikTok, YouTube, and LinkedIn. Stay tuned for more at The Sputnik when we return in September. Thank you for listening, and enjoy your summer.